Namaste and welcome back to our series on what is important. Today I would like to focus on discernment, viveka. In Indian philosophy, not just yoga philosophy, all other philosophies, they give maximum importance to the quality viveka. Viveka means understanding things in the right way. Discernment, if we have to find a close English word, it is discernment. Understanding a thing as it is, as far as possible. Something is good for me, I understand it is good for me. Something is not good for me, I understand it is not good for me. Something is good for me, but I don't like it. I see that point that it is good, but I don't like it. Something is not good for me and I love it. I see this. This is discernment. Discernment also is about understanding about people, about every aspect of life. Whole science is based on discernment, trying to understand things as they are, not any projection, not imagination, not any superstition. So people ask questions. That's how the whole concept of science developed. That's the whole concept of, in fact, Indian philosophy, because the real Indian philosophers always were very scientific. They never believed in anything. They asked questions. Only thing, their method of inquiry, their method of observation, they followed a different method, but they were all very observant, watchful. That's how you see in yoga, most of the asanas, their names are either names of the animals or people who worked with human beings, human life, human psyche, the rishis, different body parts. So they were very observant, watchful. And they were asking right questions and looking into them. So we are talking about discernment. It's a very vast topic. Viveka, or understanding things in the proper way, looking into every aspect of life. So when we talk about discernment, it's not just about thinking alone. Clarity in thinking, clarity in feelings, clarity in our even gut feelings are our feelings which come from our heart. Sometimes we get a lot of mixed feelings. There is no clarity. So discernment is not about just using your brain and a lot of thinking alone, but it is about understanding. So this is a vast topic, I said, because we need to have discernment with respect to every aspect of life, with respect to what we eat, with respect to what we drink, with respect to how we live our life, day-to-day life, with respect to what we learn, what we think, what we read, what we listen, whom we follow, what type of teachings we follow, what type of concepts are driving our life, what are our values, understanding about our values, discernment. For example, if I am having a value which is not deeply connected to me, and also if it is not deeply connected to the universal principles, then if I understand, that is discernment. And first thing is to understand, then to correct. So first of all, why it is important to cultivate discernment, develop discernment, viveka? The only answer is to avoid suffering. Heyam dukkham anagatam, like Patanjali says, that your future suffering should be avoided. So the main reason why we should have viveka is to avoid suffering. So as I mentioned, the viveka has many layers, spiritual viveka. We are not talking about spiritual discernment now. Because we need to also understand different philosophies and their, it's not that everything is right. Everything is only a perspective, but everything is not right. It's a perspective. Every perspective need not be the right perspective. Because somebody who is cheating people or who is hacking your accounts or doing cyber crimes or regular crimes, killing people, they have their own perspectives that they are right. They give a particular logic to it. It's not right. It's a perverted logic. So every perspective doesn't lead to happiness, doesn't lead to a joy of everyone. It not only creates suffering to themselves, but also to people around. People who violate all human norms. So they have their own perspectives. We cannot say that that's right. So discernment, why it is important? It is important to avoid suffering. Suffering to oneself and suffering to people around. This we should be very clear. If we don't understand, for example, if I am going to invest money, if I am not having the right discernment, I will end up investing in a wrong way. If I am not clear about people, I will end up trusting someone who will cheat. In business, it happens. People talk very nicely and we believe on the face value. We think that they are very nice. We are gullible. We are naive many times. But everyone is not naive. They have their own agenda. They come with all very nice face, very nice talk. They can talk very smooth talking, but they don't mind cheating. They run away with a lot of money. So discernment is important in every aspect. For example, what I eat, I need to have discernment. Is this good for me? Is this going to promote health? Sometimes we may know that this is not going to promote health, but I like it. This is actually harmful. Smoking is harmful. Drinking is harmful. So, but somebody may do it. But then they have to be completely clear. What are the implications of it? If they are completely clear and still they are going ahead with it, that means there is a gap between what they know and how they live. At least to that extent, discernment is there. So discernment is important to avoid future suffering. Even to an extent, even present suffering, not only to ourselves, but to people around us, our family members, friends, and loved ones. Otherwise, we end up putting them into trouble. For example, a head of the family does wrong investment, spends money in the wrong way. Then everybody in the family will suffer. Our head of the family is neglecting his or her health and doing things which are not good. Then that puts everybody in a sort of difficulty. So to avoid suffering, discernment is important. Why this happens? Let me take another important example. People fall in love with someone. A person falls in love with someone. Wonderful. Love is always beautiful, wonderful. Happy hormones are released. Everything looks beautiful. And they're on cloud nine. But after some time, some differences develop. They start understanding that this person is a nice person, but is not quite fit to my values, to my concepts about life. Because in the process of every relationship, we all grow in relationships. So when we grow in relationships, like all the sharp corners are smoothened, like, you know, two stones, rolling stones, rub each other. When we are living in close quarters, we rub each other, not only physically, but emotionally, in terms of everything. in terms of values. We start understanding each other, and a time comes when these two people who are living together, they say that it's not really working out. We have a lot of differences. You're good in your own way, I'm good in my own way, but this is not going to work. So let us be friends. And then they part ways. It's painful. Every breakup is painful. It takes some time for a person to come out of it. The memories, the nice moments shared, all that gives a lot of pain. But then they come out. They understand it's not going to be good for them in the long run. And a few days pass. They miss the person probably sometimes. And then there is suffering. There is pain. Sometimes the memories come back. And they give a lot of emotional hurt. I'm explaining all this when it is an amicable separation. When it is not an amicable separation, when there is like a lot of struggle in the separation, then there is definitely a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of guilt, a lot of hurt. So many other emotions, they come up. Anger maybe, frustration maybe, or feeling judgments about oneself and about the other person. A lot of guilt. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have got into this relationship at all in the first place. All these type of thoughts come up and people go through it. Depending on the way the separation happens, people take their own time, depending on their own personality. But then, after some time, they get back into a relationship which is very similar. It is like meeting the same person in a new attire, new dress, new makeup, the same person. They fall in love with another person who is very similar to the previous person in terms of the qualities, in terms of the values, in terms of the behavior, in terms of attitudes, so many things. And people on the sidelines, the friends and well-wishers, they see it clearly. And some of them, they dare to even advise. People don't advise. Remember, nobody gives us the right advice because we don't listen to them. In fact, we judge. If somebody comes and tells me the right advice, most probably I will judge them. I'll not be happy. It's not me. I always value any advice, even critical suggestions. I listen to them. I try to give complete benefit of doubt to it, look into it, give some time to it. But generally, you try to tell someone about, give them a feedback, then they generally will be upset. Especially if you are giving them the feedback which is not validating them. People want only validation. Because everyone knows that everyone wants validation, they simply validate even our stupid decisions. But there will be one who will come and tell. Maybe there will be a bit of subjectivity in their suggestions or in their observations, but 50% can be true. They say that you are getting into the similar type of a person again, but people don't see it. They get back into the same type of relationship, they suffer again, and they take some time to get out of it. Of course, the person is different, the situations are different, the experiences are different, but suffering is same, or same. Same, little different. But the suffering is same. They spend a lot of time, they go through it. Probably they waste a lot of their time, emotions, money. And then again, they have to come out. Sometimes people get into the same type of relationship, third time, fourth time. And after fourth time, they get back to the first person again. I'm not joking. This is the experience of a lot of people. Why does this happen? That is the important point I wanted to bring in. Why it happens? This happens because we are not learning from our mistakes. The beauty of our brain is that it can learn. As children, we were learning 100 things at the same time. Children learn so many things at the same time, different subjects. As children, I remember we used to learn 3 languages and science and social studies and mathematics. And so many other things, extracurricular activities, we used to play, we have still time for many other mischief, to do, doing a lot of mischievous things. But when we grow, we start, it's so difficult to learn two subjects at the same time now. Why? Because the plasticity, neuroplasticity, as they are talking now, the ability to learn is reducing. It is not hardwired. It is not that we are getting old, the body is getting old, so the brain is getting old. No, it is not. It is somehow we lose that vigor, lose that enthusiasm, lose that interest, and we forget that we should learn. We need to learn. We can make mistakes. We learn by making mistakes, but we don't need to make mistakes again and again. Certain mistakes can be avoided and certain mistakes cannot be avoided. For example, take the example of driving. Certain mistakes can be avoided. Drunken driving can be avoided. Rash driving can be avoided. But you are driving carefully, you know driving very well, driving for a long time, but then someone comes and hits you from behind or from the side. You cannot avoid. Certain things we cannot avoid. Certain things definitely can be avoided. And that is where the concept of learning comes. I may make mistakes, but then why am I rushing back into making mistakes again? Is it not enough to burn one finger to know that fire burns? Do I need to burn again and again to know that fire burns? Do I need to suffer again and again? This is exactly where philosophy comes and says, you don't need to suffer again and again unless you want to suffer. So this is where people have to understand, when I'm talking about discernment, there is a purpose for this talk. We should learn from our mistakes and not get back into same or similar situations. Especially, I am focusing today on people, on relationships. We may get into some trouble with a particular type of people. Next time, we should not lose the ability to trust, but at the same time, we should be more discerning. We should wait, pause, observe, look at different symptoms, not rush back into that. And especially when suggestions are coming from some well-wishers, especially when the symptoms are there, if we fail to see through the symptoms, then suffering is inevitable. For example, if I were in a relationship with a person with no values, and I came out of that and I get back into another relationship with a person who has no values, I am bound to attract suffering. So it's fine. You want to suffer again and again and again and again before you want to learn? You are free to do that. We are all free to suffer. We are all so free that we are free to suffer. The freedom is complete. When I keep saying all the time, sometimes my wife jokes at me that don't keep telling that joy is the nature, because people don't like it or don't understand it. But no, it's right. When you keep telling, you have to keep telling the truth. You cannot avoid it. Joy is the nature. Similarly, freedom is the nature of the self. Freedom is the nature of the self. We are so free that we are free to suffer. Or we are free not to suffer. And this is possible when we don't repeat the mistakes. Don't worry about the sounds. Today is the festival of Ganesha's birthday, Ganesh Chaturthi. So there is celebrations going on the occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi. I thought of posting this podcast about discernment, because Ganesha is a representation of stability, grounding, and learning from mistakes, not repeating the mistakes. There are many teachings which come from the concept of the god of Ganesha, the lord who removes all the obstacles. So the third one, how to cultivate discernment, avoid suffering. How to cultivate discernment and avoid suffering. So first thing is vulnerability. We should understand that we are all bound to make mistakes. There's nothing wrong. So I am vulnerable. I can make mistakes. But then I need to accept my mistakes. Accepting my mistakes. Vulnerability and accepting my mistakes. I should not justify my mistakes. I accept. I take complete responsibility for my mistakes. And then strong reminders not to get into these old programs again. There are certain set of programs. So why we are suffering? We are suffering because we are getting into the same old programs. What is old program? It is the neural network. As children, we were able to cultivate a lot of networking in our brain. Every day, every minute, they used to say, you know, the science, neuroscience says that thousands, tens of thousands of new neural networks develop when we were children. But as we grow old, it stops, it reduces. And that's what we need to, again, cultivate. We need to learn from our mistakes, not go with the mistakes. So there should be some strong reminders for us not to get into those old neural networks, old programming. When we use the word old programming, not get back into the same old programs. The same old programs are our strong likes and dislikes. Our strong likes and dislikes are one set of programs. Not taking the feedback, not listening. That's why when I started what is important, the first one I said alert, listening. So the listening is important. When someone tells us something or the body tells something, our gut feelings tell something, the nature around also speaks to us many times. We should listen to those symptoms. And then we should have some strong reminders not to get back into the programs. If some friend or well-wisher tells us something, don't brush it aside. Look at it. Give some time to it. After all, they are giving us out of love. After all, they are telling us, maybe it's not completely correct, but give some benefit of doubt to it, some thought to it, some observation to it. They can give us a better suggestion or advice because they are not trapped the way we are trapped. When we are in the situation, we are close-minded and our emotions dominate and they take us for a ride. And we cannot see things in the close quarters. Whereas someone who is on the sidelines is watching everything and they are like, in science we use the word free bodies. They are like outside the situation and they can easily see. They can easily see our problems, our patterns and where we are heading to. So we need to observe that and we should have strong reminders not to get back into that. We have to tell ourselves that I should not get back into similar or same situation and I should not make same or similar mistakes. And then we need to have a lot of determination to not get back into that. Persistence with our new practice. But my strong likes and dislikes may push me into the pattern, but that is where we need to work hard to break the pattern. Anytime we learn something, there is effort, there is hard work. You are trying to learn headstand or handstands. You have to put effort. It takes some time and then you need to practice. Once you learn, after that, you can do it anytime, depending on your conditions, health conditions and all. But in the same way, psychologically, we would have made some mistakes, but we don't need to repeat them. We need to have strong reminder, strong determination, and also persistence with the new practice. Initially, it looks difficult, but then it changes a complete cycle of events which are about to unfold. We can avoid future suffering. So discernment, understanding things and people properly is very important. Otherwise, our own programs can blind us. So from inside, outside I may be seeing, but inside they work like a screen and they don't allow me to understand things properly. That is why in Upanishads, like Chandogya Upanishad and all, they say that discerning intellect is extremely close to the self. So they give a gradation, body, prana, mind, and in that mind, emotions and other things, above them is decision-making. And in the decision-making also, above the decision-making is discerning decision-making. Viveka Yukta Buddhi. Viveka Yukta Buddhi, when you translate, it is discerning intellect or discerning understanding. decision making. We need to have then self. So discerning intellect or discerning decision making ability is close to the self, and Indian philosophy tries to strengthen that layer. It's a layer. So it's a layer in the Vijnanamaya Kosha, the Panchakoshas. This within that there is this layer, which is higher layer, which we can call it as the higher mind. The higher mind is it's a cultivating the higher mind, and higher mind controls the lower mind, which is the mind which is connected to our addictions. Addictions need not be just physical addictions. Addictions are also to our thought patterns, addiction to suffering. So why should we be addicted to suffering? Can we not avoid the future suffering? We should avoid future suffering as far as possible. So on the occasion of this Ganesh Chaturthi, the occasion of this, the birthday of Ganesha, I wish all of you to cultivate Viveka Yukta Buddhi, Viveka, discernment, which is the fundamental quality of all yoga students. So the fundamental quality of yoga is Viveka. So that we need to cultivate. And this is very important to fulfill whatever you wish to fulfill in life. You are free to fulfill whatever you like to fulfill in life. But then for that, you need to have Viveka or discernment. So I wish you all the best. Have a nice time. Thank you for patiently listening this podcast. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.